you had that time where you just looked out and you wanted to give some direction. Everybody on this side, just move to this side. It is a good day. God has granted us another day to come together to worship Him, sing praises unto Him, to give back a portion of that in which He has allowed us to prosper, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to in remembrance of the death and burial resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we think about the Word of God, and we think about all the things in which He has given us, this sermon, you've heard it over and over and over again, a reference to Uzzah and the ark. Why did Uzzah have to die? And you're going to hear it again tonight. I want you to look at the Ark of the Covenant sitting there in that cart. And I want you to look at that cart, how it is made. And I want you to look at those wheels made out of wood and how round they are. And I want you to look at those healthy oxen there. And I want you to think about that scripture reference that Brother Ollie read. The way that the Ark of the Covenant was to be made. And I want you to pay careful attention to the part in which he read that there should be golden rings on the side of the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to notice something that you do not see. I believe that he read that there should be some poles placed in the side of the Ark of the Covenant through those rings. Did you not read that? Did y'all not hear that? Do y'all not see that? They're not there. The thing that we need to realize when we think of God's word, that many people decide that they want to do something different than what God has said. I want you to go to 1 Chronicles in the chapters 13. We're just going to spend a little time there tonight. You know, I heard a long, long, long time ago that if you put it down so that the calves can get it, the cows will fend for themselves. And I believe that when we talk about the instructions that God has given, that we need to make it simple. And there's two reasons why I like it simple. One is because I'm a simple person. And the other is because I want simple people to be able to understand God's word. The Bible is going to teach us something in those, I believe, 14 verses there in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. It's going to teach us that God is very, very serious about his word. When he speaks something, he expects it to be heard, and he expects and demands it to be carried out. Just that simple, isn't it? You can't get any plainer than that. He says what he means, and he means what he say. He does not play around. And there are times where people will say, well, I meant well. Oh, did you now? But is that what God said? The Bible is going to tell us, as we read those scripture references right there, his heart was in the right place. Goes back to man saying, well, God knows my heart. He knows, well, what I intended to do. It doesn't matter. Yes, God knows your heart, but what you intend to do may not be what he wants you to do. So we have to do what he tells us to do. So let's read down through this, and we're gonna look at some things. Starts out there in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, David consulted with the commanders of the thousands and hundreds, with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you and from the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brothers and remain in all the lands of Israel, as well as to the priests and Levites, in the cities and have, that have pasture lands, that they be gathered to us. Then let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. All the assembly agreed to do this, for the thing was right. The thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Was right in the eyes of all the people. So David assembled all of Israel from the Nile of Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath Jearim. And David and all of Israel went up to Baalah, that is to Kirjath Jearim, and that belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord who sits enthroned above the cherubim. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart. On a new cart. Now, let's go back and look at this thing again. I know you can't tell by just looking up there that that's a new cart. But that's a new cart right there. A cart that nothing else had ever been placed on. They thought, in the eyes of the people, that this was going to be all right. When we want the Ark of the Covenant to come back, we're going to build a new cart. We're going to place it on it. Is that what God commanded? Is that the direction that God had given? I venture to say no, it's not. The Levites were supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant with those poles upon their shoulders. Upon their shoulders, not on a cart, not by the power of those oxen. Yeah, many of us will say, well, why not use the oxen? Why not put it on a cart? It saves the back of the men, Brother Simmons. But no, that's not the direction of God. So if it's not the direction of God, it should not be done. He says, and they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio were driving the cart. And David and all of Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets, praising God with all their might. There they are, driving the cart. Now, you don't see any men sitting up in there. But the reason you look at that and you think about it, a lot of times when you're driving a cart, you don't necessarily have to be up on it. You're there by those oxen and you're driving them, telling them, let's go. Let's get to the place we need to be. Here they are driving this cart. And the Bible tells us in verse 9, and when they came to the threshing floor of the Chaldeans, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. The threshing floor, something that was solid, something that was smooth. Here the oxen are going across it in this new cart without anything wrong with the wheels, and they're going across, and the oxen stumbled. And Uzzah put forth his hand in order stabilize the Ark of the Covenant from falling off of the cart. But they had done what God had told them to do. They wouldn't have that problem with the oxen stumbling or the Ark of the Covenant falling off of the cart. And Uzzah reaching forth his hand in order to stabilize the Ark of the Covenant. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Died before God. Do you think God was upset with them? Do you think God had a problem with them, you know, doing things that was right in their own eyes? Trying to bring forth the Ark of the Covenant to from one place to another in a fashion that he did not tell them to. Do you think God was pleased with that? Or do you think God was upset? You know, God only acts the way that he's supposed to, according to how we act. He punishes those that are disobedient to him, those that are not following his direction. Yes, others' heart was in the right place. Maybe he should have been one of the ones standing up and said, no, David, that's not what God said. No, David, I'm refusing to drive those oxen with the Ark of the Covenant upon it because it should not be on that cart. If Uzzah would have took that stand, Uzzah would have lived. Don't you think so? Yes, I think so. Because he died because he was trying to reach his hand toward the Ark of the Covenant to something that he wasn't supposed to ever touch. God said, no problem, I'll take care of this situation. And he took care of it in a very good manner. And the Bible says this. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day. And he said, how can I bring the Ark of God home to me? How can I? Do it the way I said do it. Don't you think that's God? Amen. Everything would have been all right. See, we need to understand that God is not going to change his mind just because somebody has messed up and they had to pay the price. God is not going to change his mind. He still wants things done the way he wants them done. So David did not take the ark home into the city of David. Well, let me back up. So David did not take the ark home into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the Ark of God remained with the household of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that he had. All that he had. God blessed him. Taking the Ark in into his home there. And there it said, and he wasn't at this time trying to get rid of it. He wasn't trying to let's build another cart. Let's get some different oxen that are stronger, that are more stable. Let's get some more oxen. He wasn't trying to do that. So what do we want to learn from this passage here? What we want to learn is that the seriousness of God's authority. The seriousness of God's authority is that we need to listen to what he says and we need to do those things. See, a lot of times we talk about this passage here, and we even talk about the passage of Nadab and Abihu, how God sent strange fire down to consume them because they was offering up strange fire unto him. We look at these passages and it talks about what does God expect us to do in our worship to him. When people say, you know, you all sing, but wouldn't it sound a little bit better than when they talk about you all, they are part of the all. And they're saying, why not let's bring in some instruments of music and let's play them unto God and see how he accepts that. I'm already going to tell you how he's going to accept it. He's not going to accept it because he has not commanded us to sing and play to him. He has commanded us to sing according to Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse is 19. So the seriousness of God's authority is that we need to respect it because he is God, he is our creator. But we look and we find it in that passage there of 1 Chronicles chapter 13 that they didn't take the seriousness of God's authority in a serious matter. Oh, God is going to be all right with it. This is what we want to do, and this is how we're going to do it. So let's put together this new cart, and let's put the Ark of the Covenant on it, and let's send it to where it needs to be. The danger of neglect. You know, when you don't follow instructions, somebody somewhere is going to get hurt. You know, we have those things when you work in an industrial place and they got these machines that got all these moving parts and something break down, they got this thing they call lockout, tagout, and you're the only one that has a key to the thing in which you are locking out. You're the only one that has that key. And you go in and you fix what you have to fix and you come back out and you unlock it and it's back to operating, hopefully. But you know, there are those times where people do not lock out like they're supposed to and they go in and they get hurt. I want you to think just for a moment. I want you to think about the neglect of doing the things that God wants us to do. And I want you to think about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. How when they went and sold a portion of their land and they came back and they had already talked about what they was going to do. Let's keep back a portion. Peter told, wasn't it yours to do what you wanted to do with? But you said that you was going to give it all, and you did give it all, but yet you held back a portion. They lost their lives. They lost their lives for lying to the Holy Spirit, lying to God, as the scriptures teach us. So the danger and neglect to do what we say that we're going to do or do what God has commanded us to do. We have to keep our word when we say that we're going to do something. We have to do those things. So we come together to neglect and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Our worship is unacceptable. I don't care how you look at it. Yeah, it sounds good, but did God authorize it? Did God authorize it? Sincerity alone is not enough. It's not enough. Again, Uzzah, he was sincere in what he was doing. But by reaching out after the oxen stumbled to stabilize the Ark of the Covenant, he was sincere. There's a lot of people that are sincere today in their worship unto God, but yet their worship is unacceptable. Well, what are we going to do about that? Or are we going to say, oh, if that's what you want to do, you keep on doing those things and God is going to be all right with it. You may say that, but he's not going to be all right with it. And what's going to happen in the end? That person is not going to be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven because his or her worship was unacceptable unto God. But they are sincere. They love God. Have you heard how they come together and they're standing before the congregation of people and there they are just singing their hearts out to God? Is that not what it said there in 1 Chronicles 13, when it talked about the people in verse 8, and David and all of Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with song and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. You think God was pleased with that? No, he wasn't pleased with that. Because they were celebrating for the wrong reason. Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant is on his way, but that's not the way God said. That's not what God told them to do. So we need to think about our worship unto God and make sure that it's according to his authority and not our own. You know, man can change a whole lot of things, but God's word will never change. They can have ideals about a whole lot of things, innovations, changes in worshiping God, being sincere about what they're doing, but sincerity alone is not enough. Just because a person is sincere doesn't mean that they're right. They can be sincerely wrong. And we have a lot of people like that. So we have to think about it. And again, we have to go back to the Word of God and we look at what we can learn from us in the Ark. Ignorance is no excuse. Maybe no one told us that he wasn't supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. You think that's going to fly? It didn't, did it? He still lost his life. You know, maybe no one has told you what you're supposed to do as far as you worshiping God. Maybe they haven't told you what you're supposed to do in your service to others. Is that going to fly in the end? Ignorance is no excuse. We need to be in God's word and we need to pay attention to what he says. When you're in the assembly of the people of God and you hear something or you see something that's wrong, you need to point that out. You need to point it out because the person that is doing that thing may not know. And you may be the very one that's going to save his soul from a burning hell. So therefore, we need to let it be known when things are not right according to God's word. And that's what we find right here when we look at this. When we find that people do not really take God serious about what he said. I tell you to do something, I want you to do it. You know, again, David was a man after God's own heart, but here we find that David made a mistake. And the mistake was talking to the people about how we're going to do this. How are we going to take the Ark of the Covenant from point A to point B? How are we going to do it? Let's do it the way God said it, and it's just that simple. You know, you have people coming together and say, how can we make our worship better? You know what they're saying? They're saying, what can we add to it in order to draw more people in? You want me to tell you what you can add to it to draw more people in? Nothing. Can't add to it because God has already told us what he wants us to do from his word. He's already given us examples of what he wants us to do in his word. So all we have to do is do those things. And if people come in, they come in. If they don't, it's their loss. It's their loss. Just that simple. Can't get around it. So again, we have to think ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. And then we find that God honors obedience. He honors obedience. What did the Bible say when you look there at the last verse? And the ark of God remained with the household of Obed-Edom in the house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Well, you're looking for a blessing from God. Do what he says. Do what he says. When we look at growth, it has to be the way God has authorized it to be. The Bible teaches us in the book of Matthew chapter 28 that we go out and we make disciples of all nations. That's the command that was given to the disciples there. He says, you go out and you make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, unto the end of the world, or the end of the age, I am with you. You see, Uzzah had to die. Uzzah had to die because our God is serious about everything that he says. If he would allow Uzzah to reach out and to touch that ark and to stabilize it and they continue on their journey, do you think that they would have ever said, we need to obey the commands of God just like he said, obey them? I believe that from that time on, things would have changed. The Bible would have been written different. But it has not been written different. It's written the way it's supposed to be written because God is serious about everything that he says. And we need to accept that. Amen. That we can't change it just because we don't like it or we think that it's better this way. It's not better in the eyes of God. It may be to your convenience, but not to God's. God is our God. He is the one that created us. He is the one that tells us what to do and how to do it. And we need to follow his direction. You know, again, when we're left to ourselves, we can do whatever we please because God has given us that right. And a lot of times, we're going in the wrong direction. We're doing the wrong things. So we need to wake up and we need to realize that in the end, we're going to have to give an account. Yeah, there's some that's going to die of natural death. Some are going to die because they made mistakes. Some is going to die because of the mistakes of others. And some are going to die because of sickness and this, that, and the other. But when you fall into the hands of our God for doing something wrong, there's no hope for you. There is no hope for you. So let's not fall into his hands and lose our lives because of our disobedience. But let's do what he tells us to do. Amen. Let's do those things. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a child of God. And from this passage here, because this is what people say when they read this passage a lot of times or when they read some other story about some people in the Old Testament losing their lives for being disobedient, they think of God as being just a God of wrath. They think of him as being a God that has no mercy on people whatsoever. But that's not the God we serve. That's right. Then they say, he's not the same God in the New Testament as he was the Old Testament. Yes, he is. He's the same God. He's the same God. It keeps people, when you tell them that, from wanting to obey, but it should tell them that they need to obey. Because he's not a God that needs to be played with. He's a God that needs to be taken serious. So maybe you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one. Because you do not want to fall into his hands for being disobedient. You do not want to die a second death. A lot of us are afraid to die the first death, let alone a second death. Can you imagine being like the people there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, or verse 22 actually. 21 is the Lord speaking. 22 is the people trying to talk to him about what they've done. Trying to reason with him. Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works? Sincere about what they have done, but yet sincerity is not enough. He tells them to depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not, you workers of lawlessness. I don't know you. We don't want to hear that in the end. But what we want to hear is enter in, my good and faithful servant.
Yes.
That's the command that we're waiting on. Don't have to tell us anything else. You know, when it's time to eat, and somebody says, it's time to eat. You know, when you was outside playing, you drop what you're doing and you run in the house to play. I mean, you run in the house to eat. When God says, enter in, you're not going to sit there and say, but Lord, you remember when I did such? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to enter in. But when he says depart, it's when you're like, well, wasn't I in worship service every Sunday? Well, wasn't I studying your word along with people? And again, he goes back. Everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So we have to do the will of the Father. We have to keep his commands. We have to understand the importance of those things, and we have to do them. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults unto him, get your life right, and live for him. Do what he tells you to do. So maybe you're alien sinner, and you need to come and you need to make that confession that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Do that tonight. Do it tonight, for tomorrow is not yours. If you're strayed away, we're asking you to come back. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, please come.